yard work. I mean, take some time. Well, good morning, each and every one of you. My name is Marichelle, and I'm part of the team here. And it is my honor and privilege to actually share God's word with you today. Now, our pastor, lead pastor Tony and Heath, one of our board members, is actually in the Philippines. And they're actually on, so say hello.
Hello.
They won't hear you, but yes, they've said hello. And they are doing an amazing work. As you know, that's part of our global missions that we actually, as a church, supporting. And it's such an exciting thing because we believe that there's a great work that needs to be done. And I think that Pastor Tony being there, even though he hasn't been there since, 1995, I believe, that'll be some adjustments for him. Let's hope that he doesn't get to eat crickets. I think he should. I think we should just tell him he needs to sample the delicacies. Now, you've got to eat balut, Pastor Tony and Heath. You've got to eat balut. And, don't go to the Philippines and miss out on this amazing delicacy. Anyway, thank you guys for coming. I want to welcome our online family and also with you today. You know, week in, week out, every Sunday, you know, we're just thankful that, you know, I was meeting with the with our team this morning, and how I said, how's your grateful meter, you know, is it, whatever the grammar is, but being grateful, how is that meter? You know, is it great? You know, one being the lowest and 10 being the highest. Because you know what? We need to be grateful for what God has done, for what God is doing, not just in our life, but also in the life of our community, in the life of our church. And, you know, some of the things, well, you know, there's nothing much going on. It doesn't mean that there isn't, nothing is happening. God is still moving. Even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it, God is moving in our lives, God is moving in our nation, God is moving in our church, and God is moving in our community. We just gotta believe the fact that God is on the move. And you know what? He wants you on that journey. He wants you to come along in that journey. So today, this is part 4 of the series that I am preaching about, which is armor on. Turn to your neighbor and say, armor on. Armor on. Now, you know, there's 4 weeks now. So the first time, and like I said to you, it wasn't intentional that we were going to do this series, but I really felt that God is saying to each and to us is that you need to preach on this. Because you know what? There is a fight going on. There's a fight going on in unseen realm. There's some spiritual battles that you and I are facing. And you know what? God is raising an army. Amen? God is raising an army, and you are part of that army. And God wants you to be raised up, to arise and shine, and not be just sitting on the trenches, not just be being a spectator, but he needs you to arise and shine. Because you know what? When there is something going on in the spiritual realm, there are people that are not here today because they are fighting a battle. You don't even know. So what does an army do? Do we just sit back and go, oh, well, you know, that's okay? No, we don't. We stand up. We raise up the standard. We raise up the prayer. We raise up the worship. Because we as an army need to be not worry about what's going on then, but we need to be focused and say, there's a battle going on, and I'm not just going to sit down, but I'm going to stand up and actually do something about it. And that's why we're doing this armor on. It's very intentional. Now, while I'm doing that, there are some sicknesses that are happening. Pastor Cheryl has not been well for so many weeks. And she's not here today. She wished she could, but she doesn't even have a voice. So if you say hello to her, she won't be able to. You just, like, if you know, there's nothing going to come out. So can you, as an army of believers, actually now, can we pray right now? Can we all stand to our feet? Can we all stand to our feet? Because, you know, when someone is down, like our pastor, it is not good enough for us to just sit back and not worry about it. It is something that we need to do as an army to raise up, you know, the standard, the victories, ours, a healing. God has healed. And we need to stand in faith, to take up the shield of faith and help us, help her to be encouraged. So why don't we just pray right now? And if you have a need today, people online, if you have a need today, if you have any sicknesses today, let us raise our hand and just pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Jesus, that we have the victory, that you have died on the cross for us, that you are our healer, you are our defender, you are our protector. So Lord God, I pray for Pastor Cheryl right now. Lord, she may be online today listening, Father God, but I thank you that you will raise her up, that Lord, whatever voice, the vocals, what's going on inside internally that we cannot see, I pray, Father, I speak the name of Jesus over that. Thank you, Jesus, that you are her healer. You are her portion and you are her strength. Father, raise her up this morning. And even right now, as we as an army of church, that we are, Lord, standing in a gap, Lord God, that she will feel much better, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may take your seat. Thank you so much. And can I encourage you, church, that we need to, as a church, as a body of Christ, as a body of believers, if you notice anyone not in here or online or just something like just being quiet, can I encourage you to make sure that you pick up the phone or message or do something? Because you don't know what battle they're fighting. And then when you need some covering, then we as a church will also cover for you. Amen? Amen. So I want us to remind us two things. We are fighting a battle. Okay, we are involved in a war. This is not a game in a playground. This is not some kind of things that we go and swing around the monkey bars or do whatever. We are fight. We are involved in a war. Our battle is a battle against the unseen realm. The battle is bigger than you. Okay, and it's more than you and I can handle on our own. So this series is very intentional because we're teaching you to be battle ready. We are teaching each and every one of you to be battle ready. And like this is, as I said, part four of the series. So if you've missed any of them, you can always catch that in our YouTube channel and then you'll be able to check that out. But this battle, it's a battle for your faith, for our lives, for our health, for our future, for our finances. It's a battle for your family, your relationships. It's a battle for your finances. It's a battle for your business and your career and your calling. It's a battle for the promises that God has given each and every one of you. It's a battle for the souls of men. It's a battle for our community. It's a battle for the government. It's a battle for our nations. It's everything is a battle. It's a battle for the kingdom. Armor on is a call to live clothed with the weapons God has provided for us. And this is to equip and empower us to win in life and our faith journey. Ephesians 6:10 to 18, which is, you know, what we have been our passage for quite some time. And I want to read this to you. Finally, when the Apostle Paul was writing this in this passage in a book in the church of Ephesus, he's saying, after everything that I have told you, finally, he says here, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. How do we become strong in the Lord? Where do we draw that strength from? Not from us, but in his mighty power. Okay? Put on the full armor of God so you can take up a stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, it says, put on the full armor of God so that when the day is now, the day is here. I'm pretty sure that the evil is rampant at the moment. You may be able to stand your ground and after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. We talked about that. with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And then take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's easy, that's a long passage, but I want us to meditate on that, because it's interesting to note, as I was reading that, I was going, okay, why does it say this, this and that? Stand firm is always having. There are three things. You got the belt, which I've preached about before, the belt of truth. Breastplate. Now, I'm going to talk about the breastplate of righteousness today. The sandals, which is the shoes of peace, which is Pastor Tony talked about that. But then on the flip side, the three things that says for you to take up is this, is the shield of faith, is the helmet of salvation, which next week we're going to touch on that, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So there is always having, which makes you stand firm, and there's always taking up, which is an action, okay? So the first three we always have to have on, and the last three is that we take up with the battle becomes fierce. So our fight, our battle, our war is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. It's not against your friends. It's not against your spouse. It's not against with your boss. Hello, boss. You know, it's not against principalities and powers in the unseen world. The enemy will come at you and tempt you in the areas of, like what I said, the provision, the protection, and the possession. So I'm going to just run through a little bit and give you a recap for those of you who maybe have forgotten or something. But we have talked about the shield of faith. Now, this is where you and I need to hold up to take up the shield of faith, because when trials and will creep in, doubts will creep in, and our beliefs are questioned, this is where the enemy will distort and use the oldest trick in the Bible, oldest trick that he's been used for such a long time, is this. Did God really say? I also illustrated this by the shield that is used to have each other's back. So you and I are to have each other's back, that we don't go on a war just by like that, but we actually back to back, that we take up, we cover each other's back. Not to stab, but to cover each other's back in the war. We talked about the belt of truth. The belt is foundational. You know, the objective standard by which reality is measured. The truth is the word of God. We fight back with the word of God. That is our offense. Stop taking just defenses, but we go for the offenses, which is the word of God. The belt is to stabilize and to strengthen. The belt of truth is designed to encircle us. Now, the devil, because the devil deals in darkness and in deception. Truth is not a principle. Truth is a person, and that is Jesus. Truth is not how you feel or a matter of opinion, but truth is deeper than facts. Remember I talked about the acronym WWJD? What would Jesus do? That's the belt of truth. This is all about being practical, okay? We want to be practical in this church. We want to preach truth, but we also want to preach practicality, so that you going out there in a world that is going to assail you with a lot of things, with the fiery darts of the enemy, you can then go, okay, what did I actually learn? We talked about the shoes of peace, which Pastor Tony talked about last week. Now, peace is one of the key things, key protections God has provided for us. This peace is not a peace that the world gives. This peace comes from the good news, the gospel. The peace allows us to be ready to share with others. Now, the enemy will immobilize and make us stumble by situations and circumstances that will rock our peace. Many are filled today. We just walk around there. Many are filled with anxiety, worry, and fear. But you and I need to be a people that bring peace, that carry peace, that hold peace, that host peace in every space we are in. We are called to be peacemakers. We are called to be peacemakers, not just We are called to be peacekeepers, not just peacemakers. So, there is an armor given to us. There's a weapon given to us. And like I said before, these weapons are not ordinary weapons. This armor is not an ordinary armor. This armor is suitable and sufficient. This armor is essential for our survival in our Christian faith. And this armor is for safety and support. Armor on is a call for us to live a life victorious. We need to be battle ready. And so let me give you a background for this before I talk about the breastplate of righteousness. Paul is writing while he's in prison. And I think he likens the fact that there's a guard there watching him day and night. And so he would probably look at him and go, okay, that kind of armor that he's wearing, I could liken that to our Christian faith. So, you know, there's a belt of truth. There's a breastplate of righteousness. There's the shoes of peace. There's a shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and sword of the Spirit and prayer. So I'm going to talk to you about the breastplate of righteousness. Now, this could be a little bit more deeper theologically, so I'm going to try and slow down and explain to you as best as I can. All right? So, breastplate of righteousness. Got a bit of a prop here. I know this is like, I couldn't find like, you know, a vest of some sort that will kind of be sufficient enough for me to, but you get the picture. I try and do this. Let me just see if this will fit. So I'm going to wear my breastplate of righteousness on. It's really hard with this thing on, but let me just check. Okay. There you go. This is my breastplate of righteousness. Why should we wear the breastplate of righteousness? The breastplate of righteousness is to what? It protects our heart. It protects the vital organs. It protects what's in there. And you know what? When I was thinking about this, and when I talked about the belt of truth, this apparently I was looking at it, and it's that the armor that the soldiers were wearing was said to weigh about 70 pounds, which equates to 31 kilos. Now, I know some of you can probably bench press or leg press more than 31 kilos, right? But this vest is the armor that the soldiers were wearing is actually heavy. But what occurred in that, and what I was thinking about that, is the belt actually holds in place the breastplate of righteousness. You know, because like I said to you, if you don't wear the belt, your guts will fall out, right? Not a good thing, but, you know, on a Sunday morning. But this breastplate of righteousness, actually the belt covers it. So it actually covers the thing that, to put this in place. So the reason why soldiers wore the breastplate is because it needed to protect the most important thing, and that is our heart. It is our vital organs. The heart, if your heart gets stabbed, okay, you're dead. Doesn't matter how, you know, you're wealthy or you're smart or you're influential. If you get stabbed in the heart, you're dead. So once that's done, the lifeline is gone. So we need to have the breastplate to protect our heart by the belt of truth. Now, Proverbs 3:23 says this: above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The enemy knows that if he can get to your heart, he can control everything. Because our heart is the engine room. If he can control your feelings, your emotions, and what you believe, he can push you further away. That is why when we engage in battle, we must have this on. It is not enough to believe the things about God. We must believe the truth about God. Are you getting that? We need to have this on, the breastplate. So let me talk about what is a breastplate. It is not a breastplate, but it is a breastplate of righteousness. So I'm going to break it down for you. What is righteousness? Righteousness in the Bible means meeting God's perfect standard for not only how you live, but how you think and what you believe and even your attitude. Righteousness is all about living with integrity. Who are you when no one is looking? What do you talk about when no one is hearing that? Righteousness is like the acronym that I've previously talked about. It's the WWJD. What would Jesus do in this situation? Righteousness is upside living that invites the favor of God and His blessing on our lives. It is not something to be achieved, and righteousness is not about being perfect. Hands up all the perfectionist people out there. No, don't worry. Don't put your hand up, right? It's sometimes all about, I've got to attain perfection. No, that's not righteousness. There is no one perfect, only God is. Righteousness is about choosing to live a lifestyle that is in line with God's word. And as I mentioned before, don't change God's word to meet your lifestyle. Rather, change your lifestyle to be in line with God's word. Because a lot of people go out and say and sing, and we've just sang some songs this morning. God, I love you. God, I worship you. God, I honor you. But then they go out there and their life is totally different. It's not about saying we love you, Jesus, or we love you, God, but it's all about doing when no one what you're doing when no one is looking. Proverbs 13:6 says this: righteousness guards the person of integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. So let me give, and this leaves me a thought then. If righteousness guards a person's life, is it fair to say that unrighteousness invites the enemy into our life? Unrighteousness is upside down behavior that creates an environment for the enemy to come in and make home in your life. Let me give you an example. I hate flies. I really do. And, you know, I love to cook. And being a Filipino, sometimes I cook some dishes that will and can attract flies. And no matter how much I spray Mortine and use the whole can, it doesn't matter how much I have the fly swatter, or I have friends that will just, you know, the fly killer. Pastor Cheryl's very good at killing flies. She often comes to my house and just kills flies. Because, you know, the fear that I have when there's flies, that I open my mouth and I'll swallow one. I know that's protein, but, you know, it's different than crickets. So no matter how much I spray that thing, I do a swat at that thing and close all the doors, you know, because it's like, you know about flies, right? You swat one and then another one will appear. It's like, what is this, a resurrection? It's like, I didn't understand how this could be. So I've closed all the doors, I've sprayed everything, I've got the swat, I've got all the tools of the trade to kill these flies. But you know what? This is something in life and in our Christian life. You may have all the tools of the trade. You may have all the songs and praise, and you may have everything. You know, you get prayers for the prayer team and everything like that. But if you leave a smidgen of a hole, that's where the flies get in. That's where the enemy gets in. And so lo and behold, when I was thinking about this, right, the flies got in because there was a little tiny hole on the mesh of my door. No matter how much I closed it, it's closed. Everything's closed. But they still come in. And that's what happens in our Christian life, is that you may just done everything. You may pray, you may do, you may whatever, pray, praise, whatever you do. But if you leave a little hole in your life where the enemy can go and make home in, it'll get in there. It'll get in there. There are so many Christians today that are struggling in an area in their life that no matter how many times you fast and pray and do all the positive thinking, and still you're feeling defeated. Can I encourage you to check what tiny hole have you left open for the enemy to sneak in? The truth is, unrighteousness is a doorway for the enemy to derail your life. The enemy's intrusion always starts with an invitation. You may say, well, I didn't invite them in. I didn't ask them in. No, you're right, you didn't. But your lifestyle did. Your behavior did. So what are you leaving undone for the enemy to come in? For us to wear the breastplate of righteousness, there are things I want you to know about it. Number one, righteousness is not legalistic. It's not about the achievements or in God's school of law. Philippians 3:9 says this: I no longer count my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. That is why one of the armor that we've talked about is we need to take up the shield of faith. The enemy will attack you and throw fiery darts at you, but you must take up the shield of faith. The shield of faith will protect you when trials come, when accusations come, when condemnations come, when doubt creeps in, when our beliefs are questioned. The shield of faith can protect us when we experience anxiety and fear. Another thing about righteousness is this: righteousness is not earned. You can't earn righteousness because you already are righteous. Romans 3:22 says this: this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. So, can I say to you, if you are sitting here today and are online and you believe in Jesus Christ, then you are righteous. It doesn't matter what you did last night or last summer. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday. You are righteous. You are righteous. Can I encourage that? Can you turn to your name and say, you are righteous? Because sometimes, you know, we don't feel that we are. But remember, faith is not about feelings. Faith is a choice. So you are righteous. Now let me explain this further to you. Righteousness is both imputed and imparted. Now they're pretty big words. Like I said to you, it's going to be a little bit deep, but let me help you by understanding the theology behind that. Some of you may think, well, what does that mean? What does impute mean? And what does imparted mean? So let me break it down, because it's important for us to know. Because if you don't know what this is, then you'll always feel like you're living in defeat. Imputed, this is what it means. It is given to us at the moment of salvation. Okay? It imputed is given to us at the moment of salvation. So when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that is when the moment happens. Instantly. Instantly you are imputed righteousness. The concept is this, is that it's the righteousness of Christ. It's not about anyone else's righteousness, but it is the righteousness of Christ that has been given to you and me. You didn't earn it. You didn't buy it. It is given to us. Every Christian has this kind of righteousness. It is our standing or our position. It's a positional. So there is no such thing as a follower of Jesus who doesn't have imputed righteousness of Christ. So each and every one of you have been imputed righteousness. The theological term that you may have heard this before is called justification. Now, the best definition I could give you when it comes to imputed righteousness and justification is just as if I have never sinned. Can you imagine that? Like, we know that we are sinful people, but at the point of us receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have been given imputed righteousness. God has declared us righteous. God looks at, he doesn't look at the sins or the past of what you have done, but God looks at through the lens of what his Son Jesus did. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, there's that word, in him, we might become the righteousness of God. So what do we need to do to receive this imputed righteousness? Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but do you feel like sometimes when there are gifts given to you, you just don't want to take it? Okay, maybe that's a wrong question. Are you like, no, I won't go there. I see people go back to the places there's gift and they get a refund, but I'm not going to go there. Imputed righteousness. We need to embrace this righteousness. Remember, righteousness is not earned, but you must embrace it. You must embrace the righteousness of Christ. It's not about you. It's not about what you did or whatever. It's about God. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus giving it to you. And that is a gift you do not want to return. In order, because this is the thing, we need to embrace righteousness, because in order for us to be righteous, we have to first become righteous. This is a gift from God. You can't lay by it. You can't zip it. You can't use your other store cards. You can't hum it. It's interest-free. It is given to you as a gift. This is why it's so important for you to know this, because if you don't understand this concept, you'll forever be running around thinking you are not good enough, you don't do enough, you don't go to church enough, you don't read your Bible enough, you don't do this enough. It's all about works. Because sometimes as Christians, we equate righteousness by doing works. And it's not about our works. It's about the work of Jesus, the once and for all work that Jesus did on the cross. We are complete. You can't get any more righteous than having the righteousness of Christ in you. 1 Peter 2:24 says this, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And I was reading that and I'm thinking, and in my life, because I always think about my life, I don't know about your life, but I want you to think about your life for a moment. If we are, as it says there, that his body on the cross, that Jesus bore our sins so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness, then how come I still do dumb things? I still do make stupid decisions. I still do the things that I know that I shouldn't do and still do them. Why is that? Well, let me give you something. And in counseling, there's what they've taught us, is that there's three parts to us. Okay, and I want you to really carefully listen to this. I'm going to break it down. There's three different parts to each of us. There's a body, there's a soul, and there's a spirit. The body is our flesh, you know, physical body. And the body has a tendency to crave the urges, to have struggles and temptations, because it's the flesh, right? It's the flesh. You will have this struggle until the day you die. Because we always get hung up on things. I can't get rid of this. You know, why is it always coming back? It's like flies. Well, you will always struggle because that's your body, that's your flesh. Because your flesh needs to be born again. And we don't get that until we die. You will have a perfect body, but until heaven, we will always struggle. Because the Bible says this. Galatians 5:24 says, what do we need to do if we struggle? We need to do this. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. How do you crucify the flesh? Well, do you feed it or do you let it starve? That's why it says in the Bible that we need to die daily. We need to deny our flesh. I know that's hard. That's a concept that's hard to sometimes think, but how do you do that? You just stop what you're doing. And I know it's not just some kind of behavior modification, but with the righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness of what you know and the belt of truth buckled around your waist, you can. Because you know what? Victory is already won for you and I. We don't need to struggle. So we deny our flesh. Now the second part of who we are is our soul. Now that your soul is your mind and your will and your emotions. You see, your mind isn't crucified yet. Your mind is transformed. Let me show you how this is. Romans 12:2 says this: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because as your mind goes, the man, the flesh will follow. See, a lot of us are trying to control our flesh without first transforming the mind. And it's never going to work. You've got to get the order right. And the thing is, you just can't stop there. You can't just go, oh, I'm just going to think positive thoughts and hopefully it'll be all right. Because some of the New Age people, that's what they said. You just got to go, okay, I'll just think positive thoughts and then my body will follow. No, there isn't, because they're missing one thing. It's a spirit, which is your third part. And this is the eternal part of who you are. This is why we ask you, have you given your life to Christ? You know, at the end of this message, I'm going to ask, have you given your life to Christ? And you know, you might say, yeah, I've done that 10 years ago. Oh yeah, look, I just said a prayer. That's not going to cut it. It's a spiritual decision of giving your life to Christ, which means, have you given full control? Have you given full control, or you have just surrendered a little bit? You know, there's a song that says, you know, I surrender all. But some people will just say, I surrendered some. What is it that you have not surrendered? Because that'll actually stop you from having the life, the full life that Christ has given you. If you don't have the spirit transformed, then you can't transform the soul and you can't transform the body. It's out of order. Because then you'll live frustrated because your righteousness has to start from within, which is the spirit. It's about embracing and accepting on what Jesus has done for you and I at the cross of Calvary. When you get saved, when you get born again, this is what happens. You get a fresh start, but you don't get a new body. I wish we did. You don't get a new mind. Your heart gets saved. Okay? Then your body and your mind will have to follow. So it has to start from within. This is not a job for the, you know, outside in. You know, the kingdom of God is all about the upside down living, right? It's got to start from within. You can't transform what you're doing. It's like, you know, oh, well, if I just do these things, then I'll be okay. No, God works through within. That is why we have to surrender to God. We have to surrender our life to Jesus and give him full control. Do you need to become righteous? Yes. Are you righteous? Yes. Are you saved or are being saved? Yes to both, always. Because my spirit is saved, but my body and soul are being saved daily. Both are important. But it has to start from the inside. And the question that I'm going to ask right now is that, have you been born again? Have you fully had an experience, had an encounter with Jesus? Because it's not just about coming at the front and shedding a few tears and saying, God, it's a daily thing. So you coming in here says, okay, I have accepted and embraced imputed righteousness of Christ because God has given that to you. But then there's a third part, the second part, which I've mentioned before, that both righteousness are not only imputed but also imparted. This is where you come in. This is the action part, where imparted is worked out every day after salvation. This is not just a once in occurrence. It's every moment. It's every day. The theological term for this is sanctification. Can't even get the word out. This is where you allow God to work in your life, in your heart, the deeper work, sanctification. It starts with the spirit and it works into the rest of my life. And this is our standing, and this is our practical. So remember, the imputed righteousness of God is given to us. That is our standing, and that's positional. The second part is imparted. The righteousness is also imparted, and that is our standing, and that is our practical. Does it make sense? Okay. So then you go, well, God, I just don't know what I do. Like, I know I have all this, but I still struggle. Ephesians 4:20-24 says this. That, however, is not the way of life you have learned. You have learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life. Remember, okay, this is your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Remember, I talked about the body. To be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So there's righteousness to be embraced. So there's a righteousness that I have already embraced. But also there's a righteousness that I have to work out. So you have been given righteousness, But you've also got a righteousness that you have to work out. And that was, I was saying, the sanctification. It's through justification and sanctification. So how do we do this? Because I told you I want it to be practical for you. We know about the breastplate of righteousness. And that is important for us because every day we will get hit by the enemy, will be attacked by the enemy, but you need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And how do you do that? With the belt buckled around your waist is the truth that Jesus, you have given me this. Jesus, I'm already made righteous. Because so many of us are living thinking, God, I don't know if I can do this anymore, life. But you got to remember, it's not what you have done, it's about what Jesus has done for us. It's the righteousness in Him that makes you strong. It's the righteousness in Him that makes you flourish. Yes, we've got to put our old self, and that's a sanctification part. That's the things that we have to work at daily. You know, the Bible says that to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And you can't do that without knowing that God is for you. God is for you today. God is not against you. Because when He looks at you, He sees the finished work of His Son, Jesus. The righteousness. You are a child of God today. No matter how you feel, no matter what you do, God loves you. God loves you. Without reservations, without conditions. So, how do we do this practically? We have to put our old self, put away our old self, because you know, when you accepted Jesus Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Can I just say this? That if you want to live a victorious life, you want to be the person that knows the breastplate of righteousness for you in right standing with God, then this is what you could do during the week. If there's that tiny hole that you have left undone in your life, have a look at that. Because whatever you feed grows. You won't feel righteous when you keep doing the same thing over and over again. Because remember, even though we've been given that righteousness, we also have a righteousness that we need to work out. Whatever you feed grows, so feed your spirit. Because remember, I said to you, righteousness has to come from within. It's an inside job. So is your spirit renewed today? Have you encountered Jesus in a new way? Because if you haven't, then you will always struggle to think whether you're righteous or not. And whatever you feed grows, feed your spirit, which is the result of righteousness. And whatever you starve dies. I wonder what needs to starve today in our lives. What tiny hole have we left for the enemy to come and attack us? Because it is important that you not only know that you are righteous in Christ, you also need to know that God is here waiting for you to embrace the righteousness that He's going to freely give you. So why don't we stand today? You know, one of the things that I thought when I was preparing this message is that the reason why we need to protect our heart, that breastplate of righteousness, is because that's where the believing starts. Yeah. And you know, the enemy will come in sometimes like a flood and question your believing. He will question, did God really say that? Did God really say that He loves you? Did God really say that He saves you? And this is what I thought in Romans 10:9-10. It's not on the screen, but it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. I wonder if you have declared, if you have declared with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You may have done that 10 years ago, 5 years ago. I don't know when. But God is calling you today and asking you, have you really in your heart of hearts been born again? The way we can live righteous is to protect the heart. We're going to have a moment of worship right now. And if you are here today and you've heard me talk about the imputed righteousness, the imparted righteousness, all this justification and sanctification, and you're just kind of overwhelmed about all of that, this is the main thing that I want to tell you. Jesus died on a cross for you some 2,000 years ago so that you can live rightly and in right standing with Him. For that to be activated, you've got to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Like I said, this righteousness thing, it's an inside job. So today, you have anything that God would want you to, that you want God to work through in you, that you want to surrender. Because I can tell you right now that the God who saved us yesterday is the God that will sustain us today. So while all eyes are closed and all head are bowed, I just want to ask a simple question today. Because we need God. We need God. We need His presence. We need His righteousness. And if you are here today struggling about how to be righteous, then perhaps maybe can I suggest that you haven't really understood what it is to be righteous and in right standing with God. So with all eyes closed and head, no one looking around, I'm going to ask a simple question today. Have you given your heart to Jesus properly? And if you haven't, I want you by the simple act of your faith is to come down the front. I'm going to open the altar today. This is a business between you and God. It's no one else's business. But I want to ask you that question because it's very important. You will not live a righteous life if you don't know if your spirit has not been transformed. It's got to start from within. I'm going to ask that question again. If you want to give your life to Christ, and if you haven't been born again properly, I want you to come out the front.
Lord, I need you now. How I need you now. Lord, I need you now.
God, that we can stand on your faithfulness. Lord, thank you for your people this morning. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that you have declared us righteous. And Father, that we can walk in victory, that we can walk in knowing that we are the righteousness of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, we stand humbly today, being grateful that you have done the work and you will continue to do the work. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. For those of you who want to surrender things in your life, and if you know there are things in your life that you have left a little bit of a hole, then this is a moment for you. Even when in your seat, just say, God, I surrender. God, I surrender. Help me, Lord, to live righteous. Help me to put away the old self and let me put on the new self, Father. Lord, you've already given me the armor to do that. So I pray, Jesus, for each and every person this morning, that as they surrender, Father God, the things that are in their life that they know that are not right and they're not living right, Father, I thank you that we already have the victory, that we need to embrace the life. We embrace the righteousness. We have to accept the righteousness, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, church, I hope that message helped you today. Go out today knowing that you are declared righteous. Our online family, go out today knowing that you are the son and daughter of the Most High, that you have been made righteous. This week, any attacks of the enemy, put on the breastplate of righteousness. In Jesus' name. We're going to take still a moment for people who still want to have some time and just meet with God and surrender some things or whatever you need. I'll be here and the prayer team will be here. If you want prayer this morning, you can come out the front and our prayer team will come and meet with you and pray with you and stand with you in faith. But for the rest of us, if you want to go, our hospitality is open for connection. Please stay behind. Don't forget, connect groups is this week. If you're not in a connect group, please see myself or Daryl outside and we will be able to help you and point you out in the right direction. But I want to say thank you for being with us online and thank you for being with us today. Have a blessed week and know that you are righteous. Amen.